We're going to talk to you today about watching fear run. Everybody say, watching fear run. Have you ever seen somebody run fast away from somebody else? You ever seen that? I want to teach you how fear can run out of your life. And we've been talking about fear for a while, but I believe this is going to be as helpful as anything that we've taught so far regarding fear. Here's what you need to understand. You don't have to tolerate fear. Listen to me. You don't have to tolerate fear. And you have to see fear for what it is. Fear is the enemy of faith. And the Bible says you can't please God without faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting in God. And you're either doing one thing. God says it like this. Either you're gathering or scattering. Either you're for me or you're against me. Either you're believing me and chilled out and relaxed that I'm going to take care of you, or you're fearful and you think that you have to take care of yourself. And I want to teach you today on a very practical way that you can watch fear run. That you can expedite fear out of your life, you know what, almost instantaneously. That you can go from concern and worry and anguish and just troubledness to victory in a short period of time. How many would like to know how to do that? Well, I'm going to teach you that today. You know what? Let's start with Psalms 48 or 44, verse 8. Psalms 44, verse 8. In God we boast. What? All day long. Everybody say all day long. All day long. See, you want fear to be gone all day long? Boast in God all day long. In God we boast all day long and praise his name when? Forever. Somebody say forever starts today. See, the key to seeing fear leave is praise. Praise will cause fear to run. And I'm not going to not only tell you that, I'm going to talk about why that happens. Why is praising God such a important ingredient in watching fear run? Let's turn to, we have it up on the screens, 2 Chronicles, starting with chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20, and I'll start with the 22nd verse. Now, when they had begun to sing and to praise, everybody say, when they had begun to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Did you catch it? When were they defeated? Look at the scripture and tell me. When were they defeated? Yeah. When they began to sing and praise, the enemy was defeated. And that's going to be the... See, you know what your main enemy is? Your main enemy is fear. Your main enemy is this fear in your thought life that you can't, it won't happen, it'll never work, all this stuff. It's fear. Fear is what Satan uses to cause you, listen to me, to cause you to doubt in your mind, and as you think in your mind and your heart, then you speak it. And once you speak it, that sets the course. I can tell you right now which way a train's going to go. How would I know? There's a train coming. You know what? And it's coming. You know what? Up Durfee, and it's coming this way, and I can tell you exactly which way it's going. I can tell you where that train's going. How would I know? How would I know whether it's going to go? How do you know where the train's going to go? Matter of fact, maybe we see a train going. You know what I mean? And you go, man, I wonder where that train's going. And I go, I'll tell you where it's going. I'll tell you exactly where it's going. Why could I tell you where it's going? Because before you got there, I walked up on the tracks. And I walked down a mile. And I could see that at first the track goes a little to the left, and then it goes a little to the right, and then it goes back to the left, and then it goes straight. And I could say, I'm telling you exactly where that train goes. Why do I know? Because I know where the tracks go. I can tell you where you're going to go. If I hung out with you and listened to how you talked. No, really, I could tell you where your life was going to go. Because let me tell you what, the Bible says that your course is set, James says this, by what you say. So you can't, you can't set the course. Some of you, you've said over and over again, you'll never get out of debt. You'll never get out of debt. You'll never get out of debt. You'll never. Some of you say, I'm just not good with money. I'm just not good. I'm not good with money. Hey, shutteth thou uppeth. Right? Some people go to the doctor and they don't even know what that is. You know what I mean? And the doctor goes, oh, you know, I got a bad report. You know what I mean? You got this. You know what I mean? And you couldn't even pronounce it before you got there. And then you go home and you profess to everyone. Watch this. You profess to everyone what you have. And you profess to everyone that it's incurable. And you profess to everyone that it will never be cured. It can only be treated. Why do you do that? Here's why. Because you quoted what the doctor told you. You quoted what the doctor told you. I'm sorry. You know what? Does he have a crystal ball in there? Does he? Well, what in the world? Not that you should believe a crystal ball anyway, but I'm saying, why do you give him that authority to prophetically speak in your life? I'm telling you what. Some of these doctors need to be, some of you need to tell your doctors, hey, dude, back off! I'm serious. And if you don't tell them back off, at least let it go in one ear and out the other. But instead, you go home and you profess exactly what he said and everything about it. You don't even know how to pronounce it. Now you know how to pronounce it. And you're telling everybody, all your relatives, that you got this. And you know what? You got this thing. And you explain it all to them. And then, you know what, you'll say something foolish like, you know what, and the doctor said, you know what, I got to take this medicine for the rest of my life. Listen, I'm just telling you, that would never come out of my mouth. I mean, never come out of my mouth. Why? Because I understand that once I set that course, that my life will go in the course that I set. What am I going to do? That's why I walk fine today. Because when my back was telling me, you know what, when I was walking like an old man, I confessed what God said about me. And so what happened? Sure enough, I woke up one day and there was absolutely no pain. Absolutely no pain. See, but that's how Satan works. He throws a thought in your head, and I'm telling you, analyze it. Almost all of those thoughts are fear thoughts. My kids won't ever do this. They're probably going to, this probably going to happen. This probably going to happen to me. I'm probably going to die, you know, early like my, you know, grandpa did. You know, I'm probably going to go bald like my grandpa did. I'm probably going to go deaf like my grandma did. I'm probably, you know what I mean? I'm probably, you know, all this stuff that just goes over in your head, goes over in your head, goes over in your head. Hello? And then, you know what? And then we're foolish enough to then set that course. It's like, dude, why are you setting that course to go that way, to go to sickness? Why are you setting that course to go to doubt? Why are you setting that course to go to poverty? Why are you setting it that way? Why are you setting that course to go towards divorce? Why are you setting, what are you doing? Can't you see where the track's going? Why, you, oh no, man, this doctor said this. Because I thought that. Well, stop thinking that way. Think what God said. Amen? Amen. That's why it's so important to read your Bible every day. Think, say what he says. Think what he thinks. Oh, okay, do that. Who said you can't do that? You did. I can't do that. Wrong way, wrong direction. Is this making sense to anybody? Yeah. Now, here's what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how praise is so I'm trying to think of a big enough word, so explosive to get fear out of your life. Now, when they began to sing in praise, when you begin to sing in praise, here's what's going to happen. The enemy of fear is going to leave. And fear is the enemy. Somebody say fear is the enemy. And it convinces you, and once it convinces you, then you speak and you go. But singing and praising is what they started to do, and when they began. Now, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord, see, boom, the enemy leaves. Watch this. Next verse. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. Here's what's happening. They're singing and praising. That's all they're doing. That's all they're doing. And when that's happening, their enemies start to fight each other. That's a good plan, right? And when they had made the end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When this enemy was taken care of, then anybody left, they started fighting them still, each other. Next verse. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and they were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Ever say no one had escaped? You hear what I'm saying? Please understand the power and the power that praise and worship has in your life. Because this enemy was absolutely destroyed. No one had escaped. Say, no one had escaped. Next verse. Then Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil. How many know those guys that dead? Those guys that died, they had wallets. Amen. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. Take away the spoil. They found among them an abundance of valuables, and on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. Why are they carrying so much away that they can't even carry it all? Somebody raise your hand and tell me why. because they sang and praised. Not only is there, see, can I tell you what? God is not only to defeat your enemy, but he's looking to give you blessings. And it all happened because they had a willingness to sing, watch this, to sing and to praise in the midst of their enemy. So you know what that is? That's faith. And that pleases God. That's why this is such an effective strategy to defeat Satan in your life. Because God's like, yes. He loves it when we are in the face, everybody say in the face of our enemy. In the face of our enemy, we, watch this, we ignore what we see. Well, we don't look at what which is seen. For that which is seen is temporary. That which is, but we look at which is unseen. Right? God loves it when you will start to praise and worship and give him praise and start to, watch this, magnify the Lord. Start to say, you know what? Because here's the power of praise. You start to, and here's what's happening. You magnify your problem. And worship and praise magnifies the Lord. Does somebody want to learn something? You say, yeah, but Pastor, that's real, that's real, that's real. No, 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 no. Can I tell you what? That's unreal. See, look, there was a time on this earth, and this time on this earth, that people thought the world was flat. And if you said the world was round, they would laugh at you. They would make fun of you. They would say you are unscientific. Listen, the educational scientific realm, I've started to study this out. I'm telling you guys, listen to your pastor. They are crazy. You want to talk about unscientific. You know what? Let me start talking to you about the Big Bang. You know what I mean? Let me start to talk to you about, you know what, about evolution. Thank you. You want to talk about crazily unscientific evolution. Evolution has so many problems. But at one point in time, if you said the earth was flat, they would say, yes, you're smart, you're intelligent. And what I'm telling you is this, listen to me. You have a very unrealistic view of what's going on in your life. And you call it real. What I'm saying to you is, let me tell you what, when you will start to give God praise in the midst of your enemy, here's what's going to happen. You're going to start to see things for what they are. You're going to start. The reason why praise is so effective in getting fear out of your life is because you start seeing things the way they really are. You have been so conned by the enemy. I love what Jimmy Evans says. And he says this over and over and over and over again. He says, you know what? You have a 100% chance of having a great marriage. Does he not say that? 100%. Everybody say 100%. What's he doing? Here's what he's doing. And he's saying, if you do it God's way. But 100%. What's he doing? He's saying accurately what is the truth. But you have such a skewed understanding of reality. See, you think, oh, you know what? You think Satan's like, ooh, Satan come, ooh, and then God's over here, ooh, we're gonna be in big fight, ooh, and it's this big battle. I'm gonna talk about this in level 4. Big battle. It ain't no big battle. Amen. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says when we see, you know what, Satan, here's what we're gonna say. This was the worm. This is the worm that deceived the nations. That's what we're going to, what's that? That's a reality of what really is. Let me tell you what really is. God's not, that ain't happening. You know what? A rebellious angel says, I'm going to be like this. 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 And God says, no, you're not. Boom! And he casts him out of heaven. He fell like lightning. What's the speed of sound? Who knows what the speed of sound is? Somebody, anybody, speed of sound, speed of sound, speed of sound. Somebody in the back, tell me what the speed of sound is. Who's on a computer? How many of the speed of sound is fast? Amen. Boom! Faster than boom. Bam. It's so fast. And what I'm saying to you is, what happens is, Satan, what Satan does is he says, dude, no, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad. You don't, and all of a sudden you start to get this twisted understanding of what is really true. And what happens is in praise is it starts bringing things back into focus on how they really are. Imagine seeing something, you know what, you ever been at the, you know what, you're doing the chart, the eye chart, like E, A, Z, and I think they got like a stop sign there too. Do they put stop signs there now? What is the stop sign doing there? And then he puts, you know what, a newer prescription on you, and you're like, oh, that wasn't an E, that was an F, you know what I mean? You know, that wasn't a stop sign, that was a B, you know what I mean? Right? That's what a praise will do. When you start praising God, here's what you do. You start to magnify the Lord. And can I tell you who God is? God is God Almighty. We just don't recognize how powerful God is. We just don't recognize how in favor of God, how what the favor that we have before God. We just don't recognize that. So watch this. No, go back. Which they stripped off for themselves, for they could carry what they can, more than they could carry. Next verse. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because it was so much. 3 days. Everybody say 3 days. How many want to go back after the first day? How many want to go back? I'm going back, amen. Amen. How many want to go back the third day? I'm going back, amen. Next verse. Watch this. Next verse. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baracha, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Barachah until this day. God did a supernatural work, and here's why. Because they were willing to give him praise and give him glory. I'm suggesting to you, you know what, that three ways that I want you to give him praise today. Number one, very quickly, I want you to praise him for what he's done. How many have seen God do radical things in your life? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay. How many have seen God do radical things over and over and over and over in your life? How many have seen that happen? Here's what I want to say to you. That in the midst, listen, in the midst of, watch this, it's going to help somebody. In the midst of something, a mess that's going on in your life, get things into reality. Get things into proper focus. Understand, start to magnify God. And for some of you, all you can do is just start praising God for what he's done. See, this is a trick. This is a great trick for you to get off your woe is you, it'll never happen. Because all of us, we have life in front of us, do we not? And so what I'm teaching you is today, just start praising God for what he's done. It don't even make never. No. I don't focus on the mess that you're going through right now. Start to thank God for when he healed your son. Start to thank God for when he delivered your daughter. Start to thank God when he healed your family. Start to thank God for whatever he did in your life. Start to thank God for him giving you the promotion. Start to thank God for the health that you experience in all your life. Start to thank God, because every single one of us, see again, understand the battle. Understand what Satan's trying to do. Satan's trying to get you in the negative, get you in what's bad, get you in because you know what? Why? Because he wants you to start running your mouth, because however your mouth is going, that's the tracks you're going to follow. Amen? So he don't want you to start praising God for what he's done. He wants you to follow. No. Let's. I love the Old Testament, because God tells, you know, Israel, I want you to have this festival and remember what I did for you. I want you to go over it and teach your kids, you know what God has done. Parents, you should rehearse what God has done for you. Your kids should have this history lesson all the time of when God did this and God did that and God did this, and mom and dad are teaching their kids what God has done. There should be, listen, in your homes, there should be this repetitiveness of God did this and God did that and God did this and God did that. So, well, you know what? Your kids go, oh my goodness, you know what? Mom's going to tell the story about when she almost got in an accident again. Amen. Dad's going to tell a story of when, you know what, when he got promoted and he wasn't even supposed to get promoted. But listen, let it be repetitive. And then look at your kids and say, hey, tell me what God has done in your life. They're 8, they're 12, they're 16. God has done a lot in their life. Start to create this atmosphere of praise. Let's just thank God. You know, Thanksgiving shouldn't be once a year. You know what I mean? Amen. This is very, very powerful, because what it does, watch this, what it does is it puts you in the proper perspective of what reality is. Let me tell you about God. Can I tell you about God? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you start saying, Father, thank you, God, thank you, did you do this, thank you, did you do this, thank you, and all of a sudden, perspective. Are you catching this? Yes. See, when they began to praise, their enemy is defeated. When you begin to praise, and all you have to do, did he do something for it? Let me ask again. Has God done something for somebody in the last 8 years? Raise your hand if he's done something for you. Over. And raise your hand real high. Testify. Raise your hand real high and testify. God has done something for me. Okay. You pray. I don't care if it's 4 things. Then you just go 4 things. You write them out what they were. Had a good friend, and she was going through something recently, and I so smart, she did this very same thing. She started recognizing how God had delivered in this place, and delivered in this place, and delivered in this place, and delivered in this place. And you start seeing this pattern of God, and you start recognizing, oh my goodness, that's what David did. He was with me with this bear. He was with me with this lion. God's the same yesterday. There's not even a shadow of turning. You think God defeated all those enemies for you? And he ain't going to defeat the enemy in front of you right now? See, it gives perspective. Number one, remember, start praising God for what he's done. Number two, let me go to that scripture. Luke 19, guys, quickly. Luke 19, starting with verse 35. When they had brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. This is, of course, Palm Sunday. And as they went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice, watch this, and praise God with a what kind of voice? Some of you need to just shout. I thank God for what he's done. Some of you need to shout in your homes. Some of you need to shout in your cars. Some of you need to proclaim the goodness of God. The loud voice with all, watch this, with the loud voice, why? For all the mighty works that they had seen. You need to be like that. You need to proclaim with a loud voice. Listen. In a loud voice, proclaim all the mighty works that God has done. Number two, praise God for what you see him doing, watch this, in someone else's life. Oh, somebody shout amen. You're like, oh, hey, listen, there's something very powerful. There's a spiritual reality when you will start to praise God, watch this, not what he's done in your life, but what he's done in somebody else's life. Watch this. Luke again. Luke chapter 18 and starting with verse 39. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. This is the man who wants to be delivered from his blindness. But they cried out all the more, Son of David, he cries out all the more, have mercy on me. Next verse. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Watch this. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. All the people. Say all the people. See, listen. Do you have the maturity to thank God for what he's done in somebody else's life? Do you have, you start to walk in, and watch this. Now, it's not that God has to do it in your life. You just start to see the goodness in God in somebody else's life. And you start to say, thank God. Hey, have you seen God move radically in blessing our church? Have you seen that? Yeah. Start praising God for that. Have you started seeing God move radically in somebody else's life? Yeah. Can you praise God when someone else drives in the parking lot with a new car? I'm just asking. Amen. Well, you know what? They think they're so bad driving that new car. You know, let me tell you what. They probably owe a bunch of money on that car. You know what I mean? Hey, shutteth thou upeth again, please. Start to thank God. You know what? See, this jealousy thing is not what God's looking to do. Can you thank God when somebody else gets blessed? Because let me tell you what, when you can start praising God, I like what one guy said. He said, I praise God when somebody else, you know what, gets blessed. He said this, because I'm in line. How many know, you go to Dodger Stadium, you know what, and you see these people, you know what, going with the Dodger dog, just smile, amen? Why? I can almost taste it. I've still got 8 people in front of me, but I'm now I only got 7, amen? Can I tell you what? God's not a respecter of persons, amen? It's through faith and patience you're going to receive the promises of God. Don't get jealous of others. Praise God for their blessing, amen? Amen. Listen, they're part of you. See, think of the power when you start thanking God that Joe got blessed. Thanking God that Sam got blessed. Thanking God that Jorge got blessed. Amen? Amen? You start walking in the blessings. And now, listen, and shouldn't you be pulling for them, not against them? How much profit is it as you're walking in this? What's that about anyway? Can I tell you what that's about? That's about now you put them as the enemy. They're not the enemy. Yeah, but they're not even saved. They're not the enemy either. I'll give you another chance to say amen. They're not the enemy either. Amen. No. You start to praise God. You think God ain't going to get all over blessing you as you start praising God when somebody else gets blessed? Bible says, as you measure it out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. Number one, praise God for what he's done. Number two, praise God for what he's done in other people's lives. Start to give him praise. Number three, and I'll close with this. Praise God for what he has, what he hasn't done. Did you catch it? Yet. Everybody say yet. Praise God for what he hasn't done yet. Matthew chapter 8, watch this, verse 2, so powerful. And behold, a leper came, watch this, we're talking about worship, we're talking about giving God praise. And look how the Bible says this, watch this. And behold, the leper came and worshiped him, saying. Now, here's a question. Is the leper healed? Or at this point, when he comes up, is the leper, does he have leprosy or does he not have leprosy? He has leprosy. See, when you start to, when you come to Jesus with an anticipation that he's going to heal you, notice what God calls it. Look, and behold, the lesser leper came and what? Worshipped. When you start to praise God for what he hasn't done yet, with an anticipation of what he is going to do before he's done it, God says, that is worship. Many times we surround ourselves with a depression, a dread, just a spirit of because God hasn't done it yet. And when he does it, then we'll give him some praise. And I'm saying that is backwards. That is not how Christians should act. Christians should act in an anticipation of the blessings of God. And so this man doesn't have, he hasn't been healed yet, and yet he goes to God, look, worshiping him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, watch this. Look at his attitude. You can make me clean. That is worship. That is saying, God, you are almighty. And I'm going to put my trust in you, and I'm going to believe that you're going to go before me and make the crooked path straight. I'm going to believe, you know what, before it happens. That, Matthew declares, that is worship. Are you catching this? Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and what? He came and what? You think he's doing this? You know what? I'm trying to think of a worship song. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. You think this ruler is walking this way? He's my rock. He's my fortress. Oh, will you heal my daughter? You think that was what he's saying? He's not doing that. The worship is that he's believing that God, you know what, is a supernatural God who will do supernatural things on his behalf. Amen. That he calls worship. Amen. Watch this. While he spoke these words to them, behold, the ruler came and what? And worshiped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her and she will live. God's like, that is worship. When you believe and trust in God and will believe him and have that confidence to say, let me tell you what, she died, but let me tell you what, if you'll just come, she's going to be healed. God loves that. And he calls that worship. What am I saying? Will you have a willing to praise God before your marriage is fixed? Before you feel the healing? See, will you, before you feel healing, before you have gotten out of debt, in your mess, will you worship God and believe that with his power, he can get you out of debt. Because if you will have a willingness, guys, and this, can I tell you who chooses your attitude? You choose your attitude. And when you will have a willingness to say, no, I do not care what my circumstances look like, I am going to trust, put my trust in God. That God calls worship. Amen. And can I tell you what? That's proper perspective. Because can I tell you what? God is on your side. God is for you. He's not against you. He loves you. He will go before you and make the crooked path straight. But he needs your help in that. You know what? But why? Because what I'm going to teach in level four. You guys got to get in level four. Amen. What I'm going to teach in level four. You know what? The authority has been given to us. God will not supersede your will in your life to run your train this way. If you want to run it that way, even though he's told you different in his word, even though you have, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you started to see the promises of God and believe those promises, I'm telling you, you're going to run your track exactly the right way that's supposed to go. And God will see those things come to pass. But if you won't, if you want to say, no, that's how it is, that's how it's going to stay, it'll never get fixed, I will never, it won't, it can't, I'm telling you what, because here's what will happen, you won't praise God. Watch what will happen, your praise will become less and less and less. And less. What I'm asking is, you know what? Do you want to see fear leave? Because if you want to see fear leave, I'm telling you what, it's in your own hands. And if you will start to praise God for what he's done, for what he's done in others, and what he is going to do in your life, I'm telling you what, there is, I guarantee it 100%, 100%, you will put those tracks in the direction that you want to go, in the direction that God wants them to go. And where's the train going to go? See, when it goes in the right direction, oh my goodness, don't be surprised. You bless God. You bless God for what he's done. You bless God when he did in other people's lives. You bless God for what he's going to do in your life. And guess what? I'm telling you what, it's going to, you know what? You will get out of debt. Your marriage will get better. You will walk in health. You will walk. You know, God says, and he's like, I don't think. You know why? Because we listen to the wrong things. We listen to the wrong people. Even the pastors, some of you listening to on the radio, you need to turn the pastors off. Why? Because they think balance is unbelief and belief. I'm telling you what, if you look at Jesus' life, he had the integrity to look at someone and say, just, I know the report that your daughter's dead, but I'm telling you, just believe. And most pastors don't have the integrity to say that to you. And what I'm saying is, turn it off. Turn your neighbor off. You know what? Some of you have relatives you need to love, but turn them off. Start listening to people who try. You know what? One of the reasons why I knew that I needed to get up to El Monte. You know, one of the reasons I knew I needed to get to El Monte, I was going to a wonderful little four-square church, you know what, in Costa Mesa that I loved. I was leading worship. But you know why I needed to get up there? Because up there, those people, that pastor believed in the word of God. He believed in the promises of God. He believed in the healing of God. He believed in, you know what, that God, you know, he believed what the Bible said. David says, you know what, I lived a long time and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their descendants begging for bread. That's what he believed. And I knew, man, that's who I need to be around. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. And analyze your life. Are you a praiser? Or do you come to church? And you know what? And when Isaac is almost done, you know, after you've heard it over and over and over again, the last 38 seconds, you finally feel a little tinge to open up your mouth and praise God. And some weeks, you ain't even there. How does that happen? How does that happen? Or let me get in the positive. How do you turn that around? Start to, repetition modal learning. Start to thank God for what he's done. Start to thank God for what he's done in others. Start to thank God in what he's going to become a worship God. Start to praise God for what he's going to do in your life. You haven't even seen it yet. But you're thanking God for. Can you thank God for what he is going to do? Because that is worship. Can you thank God for what he's done in others? That is worship. That is powerful. Can you thank God for what he's going to do? I'm telling you what. God wants to do a mighty work in our church. God wants to do a mighty work. God, you know what God wants? God is looking for worshipers. John, I don't know if you have this in the back. John chapter 4, verse 23. I think you do. John chapter 4, verse 33. The hour is coming. Let me speak prophetically. The hour is coming. This is Jesus speaking prophetically. But let me speak it over our lives. The hour is coming. Watch this. And now is. Guys, it's now. That's the message from the Lord. And now is. Watch this. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. See, in spirit and in truth. The truth is God is on your side. The truth. But what happened? Here's what happened. Satan has been able to focus you on the negative so much. The sanctuary, the whole sanctuary is a mess. No, it's not. The Father is looking for worship, to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You're deceived. And you want to talk about it. And all you're doing is showing me more. You are prophetically speaking death in your life. You know what fear is? Fear is prophetically believing Satan's report. That's what worry is. That's what fear is. And if you'll start to worship God, I'm telling you what, you will see that dissipate so quickly. True worshipers worship the Father in spirit and truth. They get a under worship, starts you to get an understanding. Oh my goodness, goodness and mercy. They're following me every single, they're right behind me. Hello? See, is that reality? That is reality. But you don't know that. Why? Because you're too busy looking. I don't know where it is now. Right? Watch this. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. I'll close with this. God is asking us today, who will worship me? Who will get their eyes off their circumstances and start remembering all the things that I've did for you? Who will stop walking in jealousy and start looking at all the ways that I'm blessing other people and start to thank God they're part of you? Who will, watch this, who will start to believe God and worship me and say, God, I know that you're going to take this leprosy from me. I know you that you're going to cause me to walk. I know you're going to cause me to see. I know you're going to cause my marriage to get better. I know you're going to cause me to walk in health. I know you're going to get me out of debt. I know it. See, who's going to do that? Because God is looking for you. And that is truth. That is reality. And all of a sudden, everything's going to come a reality. And people go, You're tripping out. Why are you so happy? You should be all freaked out. And the question is, no, why are you all freaked out? Right? Amen. Did you learn anything? Yeah.
Thankfulness and gratitude is not optional for us as believers, is it? If we're not thankful and grateful, we end up anchored in God. But if we're not, we end up taking over ourselves, our life. We end up making decisions ourselves. We end up getting off course. We end up on the wrong path. The Bible says that there's life and there's death. Two paths. So we're either going toward, there's Christ and there's Antichrist. We're either on the right path or we're off the right path. And gratitude and thankfulness keeps us anchored in God regardless of the circumstances around us. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. We're supposed to, you know what, have a daily dependence on God. We're supposed to keep our head looking to Him, but we start to look at circumstances, huh? And the bigger the situation to us, the easier it is to not be anchored. But the anchor, the gratefulness, gratitude, and thankfulness keep us anchored in God. It is that track that makes sure that we don't end up off course. Let me just read you a few scriptures. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise. Shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:18, 20, be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to the Lord of heaven for His loving, this is a Psalms 136, 26. Give thanks to the Lord of heaven for His loving kindness, His graciousness, His mercy, His compassion endures forever. Psalms 106, 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. Psalms 107, 1. Give thanks to Adonai. For He is good, for His grace continues forever. Philippians 4, 6, 7, don't be anxious for anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and your petitions, along with giving thanks. John 6, 11, Jesus took the bread in His hands and He gave thanks to God. Colossians 4, 2, preserve in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. I could just read all day long. And so because I can read all day long, and because these are all scriptures from our Bible, if we're not continually in praise and thankfulness and gratitude, are we on point with the Lord? Are we behaving as a believer should behave? Probably not. Are we on the right path because of that? Or are there things that we're veering off on because we're not doing something that is so prominent to a believer? Can you see it? Can you see it? I could read again, truly. Look at, I could just scroll. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But our time is up. And I think we've made our point. Amen. Gratitude and thankfulness. If you can just put that posted in your car, put it somewhere where you would just continually remind yourself, am I grateful? Am I thankful? And I'll tell you the truth. If you're one person who says, well, I don't even know what to be thankful for. What would I be grateful for? If you're that person, it's because you're so far down the road. because the greatest thing that we have to be grateful for has already been done. You have been given the opportunity to be a son or a daughter of God. Is there anything greater? You've been given the opportunity to call him your father. Is there anything greater? And yet, I don't know about you, but I've heard people say, I don't have anything to be grateful for. Really? Really? That just is so untrue, first of all. But then it just shows you how off course a person can become. Because if we never had anything go the way we think it should go in our life, we always have that. That's done. And that not knowing that is the beginning of all the other troubles in our life. It's how we end up in that dark place. Amen? Amen.